Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Sup, name's Xander Slade. I'm a professional parkour runner. Never heard of parkour. Number one, wake the fuck up. You're fast asleep. And number two, I'll tell you about it. Parkour is an ancient physical art form from Japan. It incorporates cool flips and shit into the process of getting from one point to another. It's a tough sport. I get a lot of bumps and bruises, but the most difficult aspect of running is staying loose. You can stretch all you want, but my secret is Mangria. I chug about a bottle and a half before I launch myself over 30-foot parking garage gaps and cling to cement walls with no handholds. For me, it's the best way to stay cool under pressure. Currently, I'm nursing two broken legs and a broken penis, so I'm out for a while. But know this, when I hit the streets again, Mangria is coming with me. Thanks, Mangria. Parkour.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Perez Hilton, with Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, a man who's talked more with Damashek about the steel curtain than Trump has talked with Democrats about the steel barrier, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. Heading into 10 years, all because of you. So find someone you love today and turn them on to our free podcast. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
She tasted like champagne.
Perez Hilton from early in the radio show days.
Wow.
We shall talk to him about all that's going on in Hollywood. I had lots of interesting stuff going on. First off, I sort of be careful what you ask for. I always tell people, here's how my schedule works. My schedule works that we put some dates and some things out there, and then everything just sort of magically fills in around it.
And live dates and such?
Everything.
Or just all of races
life.
And
all of life fills in around it.
House.
And so I innocently announced to Mike August a few weeks back, I said, you know, I see all these and hear all these comedians. Whenever you hear a comedian talk, you know, it's like, I'm getting up at Catch. I'm doing a set. Then
working
I'm going across town.
Working it out.
Yeah. And then I'm going to Caroline's. I'm doing a set. Everyone's doing a set. Everyone's working out. I never do a set. I never work out. I just show up at the theater and do the show. So I thought to myself, what do these guys know that I don't know? And how come I don't do these things? And how much better could I be? So I told you part of the New Year's resolution was I'm going to get out.
Yeah, work out.
And work out. So
once a week. Ambitious.
I told Mike August, find out. I said, I don't know. Call the Ice House and see if I can just come in and do 20 minutes on a whatever weeknight. He said, fine. So he got back to me like he does. The one thing I do like this quality in Mike August, and I do not like this quality in other people where you tell them to do something and you never have to circle back and 2 weeks later. This is the number one answer with everyone when you tell them to do something and they don't do it. You go, what happened with the whole Ice House workout thing? I put a call in. Mm. And then you go, what happened?
And?
They haven't called back. And then you go, well, how long's it been? And then they always ask, it's been a few days. It's been a few weeks. And then they go, well, I could call again. It's like, yes, I want this thing to happen, not for you to just go through the paces of checking a box and saying you did. Mike goes and does it. And so he goes, okay, Thursday night, 8:45, do 20 minutes. I go, okay, that sounds good. And I'll try to figure out what I'm going to say in between. In between, I ended up getting a dental surgery. So I got this.
There's your 20 minutes.
I got this swollen jaw. Yeah. And then because of the schedule and the dental surgery, I ended up today with what's going to be a 6-podcast day.
Light day.
And then a very rare cold is coming on, has come on,
some
which I try to ignore, but it's here. And so now I got this swollen jaw. I got this sort of cold thing on. I got the 6 podcasts. And then I get the call, which is, hey, they want to do a meeting at Discovery in Beverly Hills before the 6 podcast.
Good thing those things are right next to each other.
And now it has turned out to be the worst day ever to go out and do 20. The idea was to get the material, to have a little bit of time, to put together a little set list.
45 minutes if you're lucky.
Right. So, so the thought was, shall we cancel? But I said no. I said I'm going to do it. Yeah. That's part of the deal. It's literally the busiest day of the year.
And sometimes that makes the best show.
Yeah, I doubt it. But either way, it'll be on. It's just funny that it happened tonight. Hot Terri Schiavo news.
Ooh, topical.
Topical Terri Schiavo. Well, it is going to tie into
the Ace Man weighs in
something that's going on in the news. And although I never get tired of being right, I may be bored of being right.
Oh, wow.
And I will read you an exchange I had with Terri Schiavo's brother last night. Yes?
Last night. Oh, shit.
First, I'll tell you this half of the show brought to you by Tommy John at TommyJohn.com. Simply Safe as well at SimplySafe.com. And BetOnline.ag. Enter podcast one. So I think everyone everyone may have a different approach to bad news or criticism or even an encroachment that's past the criticism but maybe bordering on an attack or an attack. I don't think anyone likes it when they read a tweet mm-hmm. that says how wrong they are, dumb they are, whatever. And then you have to decide, does that person have a point? Mm-hmm. You shouldn't reflectively go, eat a dick. Yeah. You know, you should go,
do I retweet this?
You should think, well, what's their point of view?
Right.
Like, what do they disagree with and what's behind it? And, I've never had any thoughts about, Terri Schiavo or family members. She was famously the one that became a huge sort of court case. Right to life.
Cause celeb.
Right to whatever. She became
right to die.
Roe v. Wade of right to euthanasia, live, right to die, euthanasia. Read her story quickly, Gina, just so we know.
Sure.
Just official particulars.
The notes on
her.
Terri, yeah. It's a right to die legal case lasting from 1990 to 2005. So in 1990, she was 26, and Terri suffered a heart attack. She was resuscitated, but had a major, massive brain damage.
26-year-old female.
Young.
Female 26 heart attack is bizarre.
Wasn't
right
it brought
then and there.
On by some sort of medication or something, or did she just have a fucked up heart?
Heart attack. Female 26 is
brought
statistically
on by something,
insane.
Right?
We could look it up, but either way, anyway. Heart attack.
Yeah, it left her in a vegetative state, and after 2 years of speech and physical therapy, nothing improved. It led to a legal feud between Schiavo's husband Michael and her parents. The husband argued and won in court numerous times that Terri would not have wanted to live in a vegetative state. Her feeding tube was removed and reinserted numerous times. Let's see here. Governor Jeb Bush was granted authority to demand her tube be reinserted, citing a rapidly passed Terri's law. And finally, the plug was pulled March of 2005.
So 15 years
of going back and forth.
Yeah, of going back and forth.
And so they couldn't figure out the cause. They without medical certainty, they ruled out bulimia. They ruled out that she had healthy coronary vessels. I mean, so they just could undetermined everything.
I'm on the side of pulling the plug. I understand the parents hoping, but after 2 years or X amount of months or whatever it is, it becomes selfish on the parents' part. It becomes selfish on whoever's keeping the person in the vegetative state, I guess. Part. I kind of blame Hollywood. There's been too many movies where the guys have popped up and went, there's a cell phone?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Where have I been?
Right. So.
And on top of that, like when I think of like a principled, like a true principled conservative, I think of like individual rights, less government, stay out of my home, stay out of my body. And for like the people on the right, the Jeb Bushes of the world to insert themselves in this when it's clearly not what the husband or the wife would have wanted, that's sick.
It's the opposite of small government.
Yeah. It's the biggest government. You're keeping someone alive. Should by all rights be dead.
That is religion.
Yeah.
That's conservatives.
I think it's kowtowing to religion. Jeb's a super religious dude. He might be.
I don't know. I never really question. I don't know whether they are or not. Mm-hmm. But whenever there's something on the right that goes, wait a minute, I thought government was supposed to stay out of it.
It's
always a religious-based thing.
Yeah, what's more likely? Jeb's like, God told me to do this, or my constituents would be very upset if I didn't do this.
A little from column A, a little from column B.
Yeah. I don't. If somebody says they're religious, I believe them, but this is religion, and whenever there's stuff on the right that feels very un-stay-out-of-it government, it's almost always some religious-driven-based subject.
Anyway,
so
Terri Schiavo.
So she becomes sort of the poster child for this. There's also another interesting, crazy story about someone's in a vegetative state who's pregnant, who just gave birth, who's been that way for 10 years or something like that. So that's a crazy story we'll get into in a second.
The lengths people go through to fake it.
I wrote a story. I don't remember all of what I wrote and all of the books I've written, but evidently I wrote this in President Me in 2013 or whenever I wrote that book. So there's a reference to Terri Schiavo. I think Gina Grad has that as well.
Yeah, this is Chapter 8, your Department of Agriculture in President Me. You say, before I move on from vegetables to other areas covered by the USDA, I ought to name a Secretary of Agriculture. I'm going with Terri Schiavo, not just because she was the world's most famous vegetable, but because she's no longer with us and I'm committed to reducing the size of government.
So I get a tweet.
It's a clever turn.
I get a tweet last night at, I don't know, 7 o'clock or something. I turn on my computer, and there's a tweet from Terri's brother that says,
Bobby Schindler, who says, it recently came to my attention that you wrote about my deceased sister, Terri Schiavo, in your book, President Me. Perhaps the next time you decide to target an innocent disabled woman with your crude humor, you will spell her name correctly. You spell it with a Y instead of an I.
Oh,
which I didn't do. That's Michelangelo. So blame him. So,
to which you replied, fuck off.
I sat there and I was like, first things first, I went, I have no idea what I wrote about Terri Schiavo. I have vague recollections about things I wrote about in the book.
Probably a nuanced discussion of the law. It's probably a cheap joke.
I'm sure I used her as the butt of a joke, but I wasn't sure. I was thinking that I said, you know, I was making fun of the chicks of The View and said there's, you know, as useful as Terri Schiavo in a dirigible or something like that. I thought I'd just use her as an example. I didn't know I made her Secretary of Agriculture.
You appointed her.
I wasn't sure. I don't have a book on hand, so I didn't want to go to my dad's house and break open a case.
So. Well, it's got candles adorning it, so you know, but I had to blow my
eye. No, it is. I've said this many times. When you say normal things that make people burst out in laughter, it's not a good sign.
It's an indictment.
It's not a good sign. Like if you say to somebody here, like if I go, hey, someone's got to clean up that bathroom. Normally Lynette handles it, but she's out of town, and they start laughing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not preposterous that a guy's wife does clean the bathroom, right. But in my world, it is. Mm-hmm. And when I was talking to Lynette last night, she said, oh, the realtor wants a copy of not Taco Bell material. And I said, oh, I don't think I have one. And I started looking around the house, and I found a paperback that some executive from Taco Bell signed to me. And then, because I'm horrible, I went, well, give her this one. And she said, no. She wants you to sign one to her, the realtor. And I said, I don't have any. And then I said, well, hold on. I could just go to my dad's house and just grab one from his and sign it. And then she burst out in laughter. Yeah, now,
sad.
That's not an absurd statement. My dad lives 3 miles
totally
from me.
Actually.
But the fact that she burst out in laughter when I said I could run over to my dad's house and grab a copy. That's an interesting.
It's damning.
I'm just saying, try it with normal things and see how people burst out in laughter. Not if I said, "Oh, I went out to dinner." Dawson picked up the check, and everyone started laughing. That means Dawson's cheap, or at least it means we think Dawson's cheap. He's not. That's an
not
example.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have no idea what I wrote about Terri Schiavo. But
you believe the guy when he says something bad happened.
I do believe that her brother believes, definitely knows I wrote something unflattering. So I just wrote back.
You said, sorry if I caused you any pain. To which he replied, well, that wasn't the response I was expecting. So thank you. I appreciate it.
There you go. Coming together.
How many times have I told? I mean, I don't know what you could do in terms of how much crueler you could be than making fun of somebody's deceased vegetative sister. But all you have to do is answer with a short, sorry I caused you pain, or sorry about that. And he verbalized what I said all the time, which is, I didn't expect that. I guess we're good.
Yeah.
The Carter Clause.
I thought,
Carter Lay. Right,
Carter Lay. The heir to the Lay's potato chip thing died, blah, blah, blah. Had an exchange with him. I have found, and I've told you guys all the time, you don't kill them with kindness. You just go, sorry, I understand where you're coming from. And you would think that at least 50% of the time they would come back with, well, I hope you do, or good day, or something.
As well you should.
90% of the time they come,
like you could
90, see. And I say 90, but I think it's 100%, they come back with, oh, we're cool.
Yeah.
And this is over a dead person, family.
That's right.
Sister. So it works.
Yeah.
I'm telling you guys.
Empathy.
It will,
check it out.
It will work. Check it out.
So it's a valuable lesson for us all.
It's helpful, and especially if you were wrong. I'm not interested in. I'm sure the guy's had a very difficult life. His sister was in a vegetative state and kicked around like a football.
Not just that, the whole world knew about it.
Right,
imagine
had an opinion.
Yeah,
I have no interest in standing my ground. But they're like, once you get a sense of humor or
and
something,
you go to the mat for that.
Right. No, I get it. He didn't. I was mean. His sister's passed. Fine. Sorry. That's how that exchange went.
And he'll be on tomorrow's show.
Then a little bit later on in the evening, that same evening, I was seeing a news story about another woman who was in a vegetative state for an extended period of time who gave birth.
They didn't
know she was pregnant. And it was crazy that I was into this Terry Schiavo thing with the brother, and then half hour later was reading about this story.
I saw the story too. Is it for sure they didn't know she was pregnant?
Well, they're saying they didn't know. I mean, if it was some sort of cover up, they are DNA testing every employee at the facility.
Gina has a story. I'll tell you. Well, oh, you know,
I Gina's do. I know it. I know story. It. But yeah.
Oh, Chris will get Gina the story. We all have some feelings. I mean, we all sort of know it, but we'll get the story, Max Pata, to Gina. I'll tell you about Tommy John. Oh, man. I got to tell you, the best. Don't go anywhere else. You won't go back. You go Tommy John, that's it. There's some boutique underwear places out there, manufacturers, stuff, making stuff. It's not Tommy John. Tommy John, to me, is the best because it comes down the leg, comes down the thigh, stays down, great for working out, great for work. And when you're building, and I've been doing a lot of building lately, Tommy John is great. Vacations, great. Travels, so light, so you can roll it up, put it in a cigar tube, travel with it. Dries quick, soft contour pouch, comfortable stay put waistbands, soft moisture wicking fabrics, and time-saving quick draw flies. Perfect solution for guys who are constantly adjusting down there. It's the best. You'll never go back. They got the no wedgie guarantee, and they have the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. Right, Dawson?
Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam right now for 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off only at TommyJohn.com. TommyJohn.com.
All right. So the story, Gina, on this latest.
Yeah. So there are still a million details that aren't out because I'm sure this is a very private thing they're trying to figure out right now. But more details have come out about the patient at an Arizona nursing facility who became pregnant and gave birth while in a vegetative state. This happened in Phoenix at Hacienda Healthcare. So the victim nearly drowned 14 years ago and has been in a vegetative state ever since. She gave birth to a baby boy on December 29th. And the family's attorney said in a statement, quote, the baby has been born into a loving family, will be well cared for. I think her family took
was
the baby.
Was she 29, did you say? Or what was she? How old is she?
I don't have that. Do you have how old she is?
We should have it.
They're not disclosing.
I don't think it came out.
Okay. Oh, well, she got...
She nearly drowned 14 years ago.
All right, so I'm guessing she's a youngish woman. God, I wonder what it costs a year. And then at what year, like when you get to a decade of keeping someone alive, yeah. At what point do you give up the ghost?
Well, they
literally?
Said people didn't. They said the family visited maybe every few months because at that point, what are you doing? You know, I mean, they can't communicate with you. Mm. So meanwhile, the pregnancy is under investigation and people police have searched, served a search warrant because the facility said, we'll DNA check everyone. They're like, no, you've done enough. Like they want this in an official capacity.
Adam, to your point, she must have been a youngest woman if she's still producing, you know, fertilizable eggs.
How dare you? And so they're they're taking samples of every male worker at the facility. And on Monday, the CEO just resigned, said this shit's too heavy for me, and took off. But they are trying to figure out how. I mean, they're saying how could nobody notice? You know, when you're bathing this person every day or every other day for months and months, how could nobody notice that she's pregnant? That her belly's getting bigger. That they claim, at least in one report, they claimed that they did not know she was pregnant until she went into labor.
Well, it happens a lot that people don't know people are pregnant and the people themselves don't know they're pregnant. They're overweight.
There's a whole TV show about it.
Yeah. She's a member of the Apache tribe, by the way.
Oh, that's bad news. Well, is it possible also that because her body may have sort of rejected the baby, not rejected, but gone into early labor? You know what I'm saying? Like if she was 5 months in, it's understandable she was a little overweight that you wouldn't be able to tell.
Well, first things first.
14 years in a coma would thin you.
Let me tell you something.
What do they put in those tubes?
Context is everything.
Nobody's
checking for pregnancy.
Right.
If you think about the last thing you're looking for in that person is she pregnant?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Hey, like, Dave, step into my office. Did you order a pregnancy test for room 101?
Yeah, well, I have not for that room specifically, but all the rooms on that floor.
I think we can eliminate a few of them. We're trying to save money, cut costs. I'm going to go ahead and eliminate, let's say, 101.
You want to roll the dice? Go ahead.
I'm okay with that.
So I don't think anyone's looking for anything.
Right. It's now, still out of context.
And the person is like on their back. So you're not standing up, which I think then some people show and some people don't. It's all about the build. I don't know if they're heavy, but if they're just sort of laying there on their back and you're certainly not expecting this. Now, the question is, there's going to be a whole thing because they're going to find the gentleman.
Yep.
Likely.
Who knocked her up.
Yep. That's rape.
At some point.
It's a chance they don't, but of course they probably will.
I'm assuming they will.
Well, could have been someone who no longer works at the company or lives
in the state. Oh, yeah, yeah. I get it. Yeah. I think at some point.
But they're going to track.
Yeah, they'll track them down. And at some point, that person will lay claim to this child or the family, her family will, but that guy will have his. Somebody, the ACLU or Mark Garagos or somebody's going to stand up. Somebody with dignity will stand up and say, he's the biological dad and she's not fit for parenting. It can happen. Look, we live in a world where people break into people's houses, roll their ankle, and then sue the homeowner the time. Not quite that. But I'm telling you, there is some path to child ownership here.
But at what point does he get brought up on rape allegations?
Yeah, that would be...
Because
I would... First off, if I was the attorney, I'd be like, look, you know, you try that thing at first where you slap him in the cheek and go, come on, wake up. And then at some point you bring out the children's books and you read it to him. Isn't this sort of the ultimate version of that?
If you want me to,
can you hear
maybe
me?
This Good Samaritan was really just trying to kind of... Anyone ever stalled by the side of the freeway because their battery went dead?
Uh-huh.
And they put the jumper cables on it? Yeah. Next thing you know, they're motoring down the highway?
Yeah.
Couldn't we look at that as this?
Trying to jumpstart this woman?
Just trying to... Hoping against hope.
Yeah, just any Hail Mary.
The Cat in the Hat didn't work.
If you'd like me to impregnate, you beep twice.
You also kind of wonder... You wonder a fella like this... This isn't a one and done kind of move.
Oh, you think there's others?
I have a have a very...
Brian, please.
I know there's others because...
I saw Kill Bill.
You don't... Your move, like, if you're like... you know, if you're one of those like mercy killers, mm-hmm. like Angel of the Night or whatever, you don't just kill one old Nana and then just kind of move on. It's a thing.
You get a taste for it.
It's like a serial killing. So this is not, so first off, nobody does this like on a dare. Like there's nobody hanging out by a vending machine going,
yeah, hey. Remember that one time?
Yeah, graveyard sucks, doesn't it? Oh boy.
Sure,
hey,
it's quiet around here.
You want a free payday?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Here's what to do.
I'm all
so
ears.
So nobody, you either do this if you.
It's
if,
not your MO.
Well, no. What I'm saying is, as a human being, you either entertain this as a viable idea or you completely reject it 1,000%, like everyone you know, right?
Yes, you're either in or out.
But if you're in,
right. So,
if you entertain this, like if you go, I'm going to do this, you don't then do it and go, you don't treat it like.
A dabbled.
Like you know when you try an entree that you haven't tried before mm-hmm. that's got a lot of raw tuna or something, yeah. you go, I'm good now. Like, mm-hmm. I don't need to try the tartar or whatever again. No, if you think this is a good idea, and we know you think it's a good idea.
More poke, please.
Yeah.
Bring the foie gras.
She became pregnant.
Yeah.
So we know you like the idea. You were enjoying yourself. Right. There shall be others.
This is literally just, I mean, there's no evidence. We're just, I'm spitballing. But since we don't hear about this ever happening, do you think it's possible he was a necrophiliac, maybe worked at a mortuary?
I'll double on that and say, as one who worked very hard to get pregnant, this was not a one-time deal. I can almost promise that.
So you think this? He kept going back to this woman?
Oh, chances of impregnating her one time and one time only. Yeah, so
minuscule.
This is for sure multiple times. Brian, you should be the one dispatched to the grieving family to explain that this wasn't a one-and-done situation.
You're going to want to sit down for this.
The bad news, but the worst news.
I got the over-under at 1,800 rapes. That's just my gut. He had to do it multiple times with her.
Right.
Statistically, I'm with Brian on this. And then whoever else was in the facility, I'm guessing, would have been on the chopping block. I mean, on the auction block for potential sex partners if this was your thing. So first things first, you got to go graveyard. You don't need to work the morning crew. You're pretty much off the... You're off our short list of people to look at. We'll take a DNA sample from everyone, but everyone who checked in at 8 a.m. and punched out at 5:30, probably not.
Take a back seat.
Right. Yeah. We're looking for graveyard.
Right.
And we're looking for van owner. I think the guy owns a van.
No windows.
Gloves.
In terms of the DNA stuff, and sorry, in terms of the profiling stuff, white dude, you know, middle-agey, you know, single dude,
lonery,
keeps him, like all the FBI profiling stuff. I think we, gregarious family man who...
organized the softball team.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So we'll find this guy, but I bet we'll find that he did... A lot of it. Yeah, she's 29. I don't know why I just remember that. So she's...
Oh, brutal.
So
she was
wait
a
minute.
She went in.
But
she was
here's a weird one. She was 14 when she got into the accident, right?
I said 14 years ago. So she's been
14.
She's been in this state
14
years
ago.
Yeah.
Sorry. So she's right up there. Terry Schiavo had the 15-year thing.
Yeah.
Terry
she
and
was
I.
26
don't
when
get
it,
it twisted. So they're going to find out that this guy did a lot of this. I wonder then, does the kid go with the parents?
Her family is what I understand.
Well, it is happening now. That is where the kid is.
It is.
Yeah.
And then, now, this may be insane and macabre, but I really do mean it. As the parents, what are your feelings about this grandchild? I mean, you had a child, your child. Entered this state at 17, would never know motherhood, would never, I don't know, theoretically see their 35th birth. You know, you'd essentially have a child, there's perpetually a child, never entered adulthood, motherhood, or whatever like that, never had the... Having a child, for a lot of women is some amongst the biggest, most gratifying things in the world. Having grandkids is a huge milestone for people. So you have this person who never would have experienced mm-hmm. childbirth.
Yeah.
You could rationalize that, I just had horrible dental surgery two days ago. God knows what this guy could have done to me. I was gone. I was gone, Daddy. Gone.
Be on a stick, man.
I'm just saying. I don't think she was in a lot of pain when this was being done
to
her.
That's a real silver lining.
Well,
thin.
I will say that if anyone had a wish about their daughter, your daughter was rape. You know, she was the guy held a knife the whole time, and she was excruciating in pain and fearing for her life and screaming for help and whatever like that. Versus just passed out.
Yeah,
just passed out. Just wouldn't remember it.
Of course, you'd choose the other one, given those only two options.
Yeah. Although I do like the heroes who do the third box, which is, I hope my daughter's never raped.
Never assaulted.
Thank you, best dad in the world. Let's get that T-shirt printed up.
Oh, that's an option, too.
Yeah, so.
And not only that, but you're getting a piece of your daughter back.
Yeah. I'm saying there's a few different ways you could look at this, but you have a grandchild. There is a proof that she was alive, so to speak. Right. Your children, your legacy, your whatever. This is a very interesting. It'd be curious to see, like, are they religious people? I know they're
Native American, right?
Oh, that's what it said. Be curious to see if they look at this as some sort of act, of God or another power or whatever. It's just it. There's a few different angles here.
I'm a fan of, Drew would say on Loveline all the time, reality on reality's terms. The reality is there's a baby in your life, so. However it got there, unfortunate circumstances, love the shit out of that kid and raise it right.
Mm-hmm.
That's reality. Put everything else has got to be in the rear view.
There's a case that was similar to in Argentina. Family didn't press charges. Case never investigated.
Never investigated?
I could see them, like I said, want to put in their rear view. Like,
but come on.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Interesting.
I'd treat it differently.
All right. So that's the case connected to the case that I was talking to. Well, I guess we'll keep you posted on it. We'll see. So the child mm-hmm. is with the grandparents
is
now.
Well, I don't know if it's specifically her parents, but it's her family. Mm-hmm. So it's likely that it's her parents. Maybe it's a brother or a sister or something.
Hey, PSA, everyone, sign those advance directives. sign the will. Do it all. Christy and I just did it last month on LegalZoom. Mm-hmm. And we did the living trust and all that stuff.
And where are we at the DNR? We should know.
Whatever she shows for me is fine.
All right, let's take a quick break. We will come back. We've got some phone calls. I got some Bird Box news.
Oh, yeah.
Hall & Oates, not Hall & Oates talk. Some snorkeling talk. We'll do all that right after this. Hey, kiddies. You dig hearing the sound of my nasally drone? You dig cars? Good. I got something called CarCast. And you can get it free on iTunes, or you can listen to it with the free Adam Carolla app. Also available on Android and iPhone. Go to acecarcast.com for more info. Again, it is me. It's Matt DeAndrea. It is all things cars. It is CarCast.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew! On the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Panton, Vermont. A 54-year-old man was arrested following a violent dispute with his wife over beef stew. Definitely not a Jew.
All right, I'll tell you about a few things. First, I'll tell you about Simply Safe. Two eyes in there. Almost half of us make New Year's resolutions. Get healthier, save money, get organized. How about they all start with great intentions. Then a month goes by and we all start to slip. One resolution we're sticking with this year. Keep your home and your family safe. Simply Safe, 24/7 home security. No contracts, no catches. Feel protected every time you shut the door leave for work or shut your eyes at night. More than 3 million people feel this way. Simply Safe, two eyes in there. Every day, PC Mag named Simply Safe Editor's Choice and Reader's Choice for 2018. Just go to simplysafe.com/Adam. Get started. We all use it here. Peel and stick. Up and running in under an hour. Order it online. Shows up at your door. Batteries last up to 10 years. No pulling wires. No mess. simplysafe.com/Adam.
Bird box.
The Bird Box story was, as I may have told you, Nick Santora, who knows all things Hollywood, and I know nothing Hollywood, said, we're talking Bird Box at football and what a phenom it was last Sunday. He goes, oh, you know, it's your boy Chris Morgan. And I said,
oh.
And then he said, yeah, Fast and Furious, Chris Morgan. He'd come over. He'd watch football on Sundays and hung out a little bit, neighborhood guy.
Did he produce it?
And I said, yeah, and then I said, oh, it's a funny thing. So about 6 months ago, we're driving out here to watch a UFC fight or something, and he was telling me about, I got to go see Sandra Bullock tomorrow, and she's nice, but we want, you know, we got this little project, and we need 3 weeks, and she only wants to give 2 weeks. I'm sort of paraphrasing because I can't remember it, but it was sort of like, we got this project. It's way too small for Sandra Bullock, and the budget is too – it's not a Sandra Bullock movie, but I think we could get her to do it, and I think I got to go over there and talk to her, and I got to convince her to do it. And I remember and again, I'm just trying. Like, yeah, great. Sandra Bullock wants to make a little movie for Netflix. Fantastic. I'm sure I won't be watching. And it just – and I was saying, you know, he said it's a kind of a cool little mystery or something, like a script or whatever. But nobody in Hollywood sells anything in advance because you can't, because nothing ever becomes of anything ever. So everyone just kind of manages expectations, right, and goes, oh, it's a book and I got it a year ago and she's right for the part, but blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, yeah, OK, well, good luck with Sandra Bullock. And
fun.
That was this.
He was the producer on the movie.
Yeah, it was his guy. It was his team that did it. And he was personally, you know, there's two kinds of producers. There's do nothing, see it, craft service. Fuck you very much for the check. And then there's like, I'm going to go get Sandra Bullock to be in this movie. He went and got Sandra Bullock to be in this movie.
I'm looking at IMDb, and I'm looking at about 11 producers listed. 8 of them are executive producers, including Sandra Bullock. He's one of the 3 producers, so he actually got things done.
Got his hands dirty.
Yeah. His team secured the rights in 2013, a year before the book even came out.
It's really good.
It's okay.
I haven't seen it. Everyone in my family has.
But Brian, you have to admit, first of all, that's her movie. It's 99% her.
Agree with that.
And if she wasn't able, physically and emotionally to do what she had to do, that movie would have been horrible. She carried the whole thing, and I thought she knocked it out of the park.
Let me just preface this with this for Bald Bryant,
please.
Chris Morgan.
I was about to have a thought, but please.
I want to unshackle you. Yeah.
Thank you.
I've sat with Chris Morgan and explained to him that, you know, don't worry, I love bad movies. I went with Bill Simmons to see The Marine, the worst movie ever. We're the only 2 people in the movie. He's like, I made that movie. So he is perfectly comfortable with this notion of making fun of Fast and Furious movies, right, or The Marine with John Cena or whatever it is.
Or Bird Box.
I don't know that you need to love Bird Box.
I don't think it matters.
It doesn't matter. The point is he wrote me. I said, oh, but it's a Bird Box to you. And he said, yeah, you never know about the zeitgeist. Mm-hmm. Like, what he's saying is not that I create the greatest material in the world. Nobody cares about that. It's can you pick it out, mm-hmm, what's going to catch some little book that turns into a huge, mm-hmm, biggest thing on Netflix ever. That's the magic.
I'm so glad to hear this. So let's set the table. First of
and
all,
and I haven't seen it, so say what you want.
I'll tell you some things, and all these thoughts are extemporaneous. I don't have any notes. I'm just thinking off the top of my head because I saw it recently. Gina, you loved it or liked it a lot.
I liked it a lot.
Dawson hated it, right? Like really disliked
it. It was
it.
Just okay. What I hated was all the fawning over it. It's gotcha. Just an average
and
movie.
I hadn't really heard of it. Mm-hmm. I just saw literally people on Facebook going, Bird Box, period. I'm like, what does that mean? So I didn't have any knowledge of what I was about to embark on, and I really enjoyed it.
I'm so glad you told me the story about Chris Morgan and Sandra Bullock, because as I'm watching this, I'm like, this movie probably cost $11 million and they paid Sandra Bullock $10 million, because there's a very cheap movie and it shows, but be that as it may, that $10 million they spent on Sandra Bullock was really, every penny worth was it. Worth it, because no one would know this movie otherwise. This is a very marginal movie right down the middle. It borrows from other better movies to make a lesser product.
$19.8 million budget. And still, to your point, not a huge budget. And still, to your point, he was...
Without Sandra Bullock, this movie never gets seen.
He was a bird dog box with a bone in Sandra Bullock. Like, I'm going over there tomorrow. We're going to sit down and we're going to make her do this movie. So... Yeah, that's what true
that's
producing
money,
is.
Money well spent, because she is an A-list star doing a movie like this. It's the reason people are seeing it. I think people are responding to it. It's like I said, it takes from. I saw Chrissy Teigen of all people. Like, I was devastated by this movie as a woman, as a mother of children. Bitch, never see The Mist. It will ruin you. It will ruin you. Never see A Quiet Place. That'll destroy
well,
you.
That's
if this
why
movie
I said,
affect
like,
you that much.
Like A Quiet Place, World War Z, all of these movies have the same theme, and I like that theme, and it was fun to see a woman in charge of it and doing a great job, and I thought it was a really fun and cool movie.
It's a lesser version of much better movies. I think it's – in fact, I know because it's Netflix and it's Sandra Bullock is who is recommending it to me. It's for people who don't see that many movies. By and large, people who are recommending it, I don't think see that many movies, because if they saw A Quiet Place or The Mist or whatever, like, oh, yeah, that reminded me of better movies. What this is really a problem for is people now – the same people who are like, dude, you're not watching Fill in the Blank. How can you not watch Fill in the Blank? Are the same people who are saying, oh, Bird Box, Bird Box. It's like, okay, now I know I can scale back on having to watch a lot of these TV shows that you're insisting that I watch. Because if the quality is commensurate with this, it is marginal at best.
But here's
marginal.
But, okay. Point totally taken. But
viewed
here's the other
by
thing.
45 million yeah, Netflix accounts week. In the first week. Yeah,
but here's the other thing, too. There's always something that catches on. There's a kid who takes his picture with Justin Timberlake, and then we're talking about that for 6 days. And
50 Shades was a huge phenomenon.
Yeah. Oh god, it was the worst. All of them are the worst. But there's always something that we're rising up above everyone else for everyone just to look at, and then it's gone. And maybe this is a cynical way to look at things, but when it's not making fun of somebody and it's not mean spirited and it's not complete shit, I think people are just relieved and they're lucky to be spending 90 minutes watching something that was pretty damn
it's
good.
It's not a bad movie. It's not. I hope I don't make it seem like it's bad. It's just, it's aight.
You don't think it would have been a wide release movie in the theaters?
No. This is straight to video.
And by the way, John Malkovich is also in it.
All right. Well, I shall watch and weigh in, if anything, just to tell Chris Morgan I saw it if I see him again. So I'll keep you guys posted on that stuff.
Did you see A Quiet Place?
I did.
Oh,
great.
What a brilliant movie.
Yeah, that was great. But
also predictable in many ways.
Mm. It has a construct. It can only go so many directions.
Yeah. Well, good, though. Yeah. And fun to watch. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, so I had this thought, sort of a weird thought, when we were in Maui. Before we left, we flew first class over. We flew coach back. It's always a packed flight. And Maui and flying off the islands, end of the holiday. It's really, it's the end of a vacation, and it is ushered in with a quick, hard jab to the solar plexus. Yeah. Because it's not a vacation that ends. When a vacation ends and you're at home, it just sort of coasts to a stop. This is pack it all up, go to the thing, a lot of arguments,
remove
a lot of waiting
shoes,
in line, a lot of,
I'm
TSA pre-check. Oh, yeah. Why didn't, oh, sweetie, oh, god damn it.
Yeah, the 6-hour flight.
A lot of packed in and blah, blah, blah. So I had something you should never think about, which is I decided I'm going snorkeling alone one more time before we pack it in. And at some point, as I was just floating out there in the 75 degree salt water and staring at all the clownfish and the coral and everything, and there was nobody around me, and the tides is sort of moving around as it's floating around, I thought, oh, this is the exact opposite of flying coach for 6 hours. Like, what I'm doing right here, I'm just in this sort of making angels in the water, and I'm floating, and there's not another human being I can see, and there's no sound I can hear, and I'm just staring down.
Immersed by nature.
Yeah. Immersed. Suspended. I'm hearing my own breath. I'm looking at angelfish and clownfish and pufferfish and everything, and I'll go, soon I will be packed into this sardine can with kids crying and people banging my shoulder and knee as they walk up and down the narrow aisle and everything else. So I had this weird, like, this is the opposite, the exact opposite of where I'm going now.
But were you able to pull that other memory when all that shit went down?
No, but I had this happen, and you guys tell me where you're at with this, which is I've noticed on airplanes, they, you know, space is at a premium, and it's happened many times where I've like flown first class and they went, do you want the steak or do you want the chicken? And I go, I'll take the steak. And they go, we're out of steak, because they got to the back and they bought 50-50 chicken and steak and everyone ordered the steak. It's an algorithm they could solve very quickly, I do believe, and have enough steak for everyone in first class. But they don't do it. So I'm sitting there in coach. I'm doing what I always do, which is, where's the fucking headphone plug into? That's the greatest game ever. I have to go find other people and other seats.
Is it the side of the arm?
Is it on the screen?
Is it in front of you?
Could it be indicated? Could you put a green circle around it? It's always just a black sheet of plastic with an eighth inch hole in it, and I have to look at other people. Sometimes I get my phone out and turn the light on my phone, but it's weird, because when you sign contracts, whether it's a showbiz thing or whether it's a mortgage, a big pile of papers show up and they have those arrows. Those are like red arrows. They just go, here you go. Here you go. Sign here. Here you go. Flip it again. Sign here. Arrow. Otherwise, you'd be staring at this thing. You wouldn't put the date on half of them. Right. You forget to initial certain places. Like, they just put an arrow. Just let me know where this thing is going. It's just a sheet of black with a little black hole in it. Anyway, found out where it was. And before every movie, or every time you pause your movie or it reboots or whatever, there's just a forced minute and 10-second American Airline food commercial. One of those you can't fast forward through it. You can't get past it. If you get 40 minutes in a Black Klansman, and then Danny Two Sheets comes by and he says, oh, there's a documentary you got to check out. And you go, all right, I'll check that out. And you hit it. Oh, here comes fast forward through it. So because I was hopping around and pausing and moving around, I ended up seeing this commercial about five times. I couldn't fast forward through it. But by the time I got to the fifth time, I was hungry. I'll show you the commercial. It's like, oh, we take artisans and we put Italian guys and they make sandwiches.
On the table.
Yes, go ahead and play it. We'll just tell you what's happening. It's food porn shots.
Today we are here at a professional photo shoot where we're taking pictures of our new menu offerings designed by our brand new partner, Zoe's Kitchen.
We're really wanting to show folks that you don't have to get crazy with ingredients. It's all about simplicity.
Oh, I see eggs. I see hard-boiled eggs being layered onto bread. I see bacon.
Wow.
Bacon lovingly being put on there. Later on, there's
tweezers.
Who cut the cheese later on? We got the fabulous Italian chef guy. He gets it all. Now they had me. They cut a big slab of cheese. They put on the artisan bread. They went, all right, so they stopped. So at a certain point, after the fifth time I see the commercial, I'm like, oh, I'm getting in on this now. And I'm like, okay. And the truck rolls, you know, the cart gets to the very back of the thing. And I go, hey, listen, I like what you're doing with your food here. I saw the commercial at Baker's dozen times.
It's been wagged in front of my face.
I want that turkey club with the big wedge of cheese. And they're like, we have the hummus platter. It's all we got.
No.
And I'm like, what about all the good stuff? It's like, yeah, that's gone.
Long
because
gone.
Everyone else has seen the goddamn commercial. It's a 6-hour flight. Everyone's coming from Maui. people have a few bucks. You know, this isn't a prison bus. These are all, what I'm saying is know your audience.
Yeah.
Everyone is a family who's coming from Maui to LA. They're all returning back to go to their six-figure jobs. They all stayed at a resort in Maui. These people will drop $8 on a sandwich box if you have them. Bring more. Yeah.
It only benefits you.
Could you please cease the commercial?
Yeah.
To have a fucking red toggle switch that's over by the jump seats and just knock it down and go, stop running these commercials. Because they were out of these boxes and I'd watched three of them. And by the time that cart came to me, I was drooling. I was like, I want that sandwich with the focaccia bread over there.
The restaurant will erase it from the market board when it's sold out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Do that.
Yes. Yeah, so... they didn't have anything.
Yeah, hummus.
No.
I don't even think they had
pretzel
that. They
chips.
Had the weird, like pretzel
protein
chip
box
protein.
Or
yes, they had the protein box, which looked nothing like that sandwich. When they cut that huge block of cheese, I was like, I'm so into this. No. It's 2020. We have, or 19. We have computers. I just figure it out. And. So you land with five extra sandwich boxes.
Are they not still good?
Give them to the fucking crew.
Yeah.
Is there not a flight going out in 20 minutes?
There is. They're going to turn the plane around. Just work it out.
Yeah. Leaving money on the tray table.
Yes.
Exactly.
All right.
Only benefit to you. Bring more sandwiches. Yeah.
Perez Hilton is coming in here in a second. We'll talk to him. He's running a couple minutes late.
Yeah, he just sent the message. He's stuck in traffic, but he'll be here.
I don't know why, but whenever I turn on my TV, it's on the This Is the 90s channel and or This Is the 80s channel. And you watch those videos and they bring you back to wherever you were in that time and space. And I end up just watching them. And I turned it on last night and it was Hall & Oates Adult Education.
Now, your favorite.
Hall & Oates would do things like Maneater and Adult Education, and they had a few other ones too that they just come up with a phrase that meant something and then they would
build a song around
it. But I never saw the video. It's just a super shitty Hall & Oates thing, but I watched a whole video last night and the video's insane because it has nothing to do with Hall & Oates or Adult Education.
Some cave drawings.
And it's the worst song ever. And Oates does nothing. The guy with the mustache doesn't have anything to do in this song or in this video. They're inside of a
temple
of doom.
A temple of doom. People are playing drums that were constructed. You tell me if Oates does anything in this video. He doesn't sing or play an instrument or do anything.
Interesting man in the world.
Most likely he wrote the song.
Yeah.
He should have wrote a part for himself in his own fucking song.
Wow.
What is that? Let's
give him a good face.
He and Dennis Leary related.
They look alike.
Yeah. Yes!
I can't figure out what the theme is. It's some sort of Aztec temple with a bunch of folks who are dressed in that garb, but Hall & Oates are dressed in 1985.
Yeah, it's wired for
Duran Duran garb.
Yeah, there's lights.
Sacrificial bride.
Ugh. They don't get enough shit. I mean, they get enough shit for me to last a lifetime, but they're so fucking bad. When they were bad, boy, like Donna Summer said, they were so bad.
When they were good, they were good. Is that a band that have the wider range between a lot of bad songs and a lot of good songs?
You can't hate Rich Girl.
Or Sarah Smile or whatever.
Kiss is on my list. Come on, man.
It's pop and it's fine. Yeah. I got no problem with Kiss on my list.
So, this video was directed by Tim Pope, who was like the hottest video director at the time. Did all like the Cure's videos and just countless 80s videos. And Hall criticized the video, saying, "In this video, we brought in a director I didn't know. He was newly hot. He didn't have a clue what to do with the song. The plot, I couldn't tell you. So even he doesn't know.
Nobody knows what the plot is. There's a dude like in a And a chamois cloth, like a loincloth, and then there's hot 80s chick.
From the hair salon pictures.
Right.
The Nagel or...
Right. I'm just laughing at what Oates does, which is... He doesn't...
He's hardly in it.
He doesn't sing or anything.
He's like mumbling lyrics.
Right.
Well, that guy's mostly naked.
Sucks.
I blame cocaine.
Yeah, this is no good.
Oh my god. Someone's been impaled.
It's all cocaine, right? I was just watching this going, it doesn't make sense. I don't know what it is. Oh, they're so fucking bad. I hope they're fucking humiliated when they see this shit. They're dancing like assholes. And I still don't know what Oates did. He picked up like a tomahawk and he's dancing like a retarded person and swinging around and not saying a fucking word. I hope he's humiliated by this. He should be. It's fucking the opposite of art. I would never stop showing this to Oates if he were my dad. All right, we can stop it. I number eight on Billboard's Top 100.
That's brutal.
God, people are fucking stupid. People are so fucking stupid.
You can get a long way with sacks of cocaine.
Oh, my God. All right. Press Hilton's here. We'll bring him in. He'll get us all caught up on what's going on. First, I'll tell you about BetOnline.ag, the greatest time of the year, NFL playoffs. Only one place to get in on all the action. BetOnline.ag. Visit BetOnline.ag today for a 50% bonus using the promo code PODCAST1. AFC, NFC Division Roundup matchups. Rams, Saints, Patriots, Chiefs, all hosting. Don't miss any of these four games, Saturday and Sunday. Go online or use your mobile phone and sign up today. And try in-game live betting where you can participate with every play. It makes it fun because sometimes you make a bad call and it's kind of over by halftime. But with inline wagering, you're right back in it. Again, use the promo code PODCAST1 for 50% sign-up bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. BetOnline.ag. All right, Perez Hilton coming in here. Irvine Improv coming up January 24th. Basic Cable Commentary with David Zucker. We'll break down Airplane on stage and talk about lots of their movies. Foxwoods, February 8th. I'll be doing stand-up there. And then Wilbur Theater in Boston. Such a beautiful theater in Boston. That'll be me doing stand-up on the 9th. Go to AdamCarolla.com and find that out. You can check me out on Match Game on January 23rd. And Road Hard, you can stream it free on Tubi. That's TUBITV.com. Take a quick break. Perez Hilton in studio next.